What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We turn to Make America Great Again. An observer noticed that Make America Great Again has the suggestion of the heroic age. An observer commented that the heroic age is upsetting to many of the voters in the 21st century, not only in America, but in Europe as well. The heroic age is reckless. The heroic age is the rage of the whole Iliad, not just Achilles. All of the Iliad is rage. All those battles in front of Troy, that's both rage and heroism. Heroes in the Iliad can be extremely reckless, hence Paris. Now, here we are in the 21st century, and no one is comfortable with heroes. We're comfortable with anti-heroes. We've seen them in movies for 100 years. But heroes, that's a stretch. That's like asking people to go backwards in time to celebrate something they can't explain. I welcome Germanicus to comment because you can't be certain that Make America Great Again is the age of heroism. You can say a couple of things about it, though. If it is heroism, it might explain some of the unhappiness of the optimates, of the blue team, who are management. It might explain why Labour Party in Britain, uniformly successful in the most recent election, is said to be sending, the number of 100 is used, of its representatives, some of the members of Parliament, to America to assist the victory of Kamala Harris, if it's to happen. It is not Great Britain sending them. It is what is joked about in London as Little Britain, sending to Little America. Now, this is all speculation, so I turn to Germanicus and his thoughts. Germanicus, once we enjoyed, you and I, the Redeemer Nation metaphor, because it fits what the events of 1944, it fits the events of many of the interventions in American history. Vicksburg, for example, or the second day at Gettysburg. However, what we have now is a country that's divided between the optimates, the senatorial class, and their candidate Harris, and the plebs. The plebs have no particular style. We call it populism. The plebs can be hectic and disorganized, and the plebs can make mistakes. But plebs recognize heroes. I don't know that the optimates do. That would make them uncomfortable. Caesar was a form of a hero, and we know that didn't come out well. So how do you measure Make America Great Again? Is that about the age of heroism, or is that mockery? Good evening to you, Germanicus.
Good evening, Gaius. America has always been a vision founded on the heroic ethos. It isn't an age of heroes. It's a sensibility of the heroic. And in fact, the American Revolution, go up and down the American Revolution from Alpha to Omega, and it's heroism at every step. Sacrifice, I mean, Nathan Hale, you can go on and on. Dr. Warren, everything about the American Revolution was heroic. And America was a heroic ethos that looked to antecedents in literary homage, like the Iliad, but not to be the Iliad, not to be that rage or wrath-filled world of the Bronze Age, but rather to take the essence of the heroic as Homer captured it, and make that a part of a modern, civilized world. And it was successful. It was so triumphantly successful that America became the dominant force in world affairs as a heroic vision, but a heroic vision that was not rooted in Bronze Age principles, but rather in Enlightenment principles, and a heroic vision that was tamed to a moral vision that came from God. And this is the vision that today's optimates cannot stand, because the optimates, which is the ruling class in America today, are a vision, an ethos, created and nurtured and now grown to full maturity through else and percolations of feminism into what I would call a therapeutic ethos. And the therapeutic ethos is the complete counterpoint, the mirror opposite of the heroic ethos. In the therapeutic ethos, people don't have agency. They are all, to some extent or another, victims. And if they're not, they are oppressors. And it is a passive and, the therapeutic ethos has its source in the satirical novel of Aldous Huxley, Brave New World, and it is the regnant ethos of the ruling class in America. And yet, as you so correctly noted, the plebs, the vast majority of Americans, still hew to the heroic ethos, men and women alike. And they want a heroic America. And so the tremendous driver today in this election can, in fact, be linked to the central trope, the driver of all of the action in Homer's Iliad, which was, in fact, simply distilled down to the wrath of a single man, the ultimate man, if you will, the wrath of Achilles. And the wrath of Achilles today is the wrath of American men who have, in the last several decades, but increasingly since 2013, been the abused and the injured. And they have been discarded and downtrodden and discriminated against. And they are now in a position where they are hurting badly. I mean, you have over 60% of all colleges are women. The job force is increasingly discriminating against men, and men are in a position, especially heroic men, of being discarded and discriminated against. And this is the framing of the contemporary dynamic behind this election. In other words, you have an election in which you have not only the wrath of men who have been abused and injured, but those men at the same time, and this must be said, are the plebs. In other words, regular guys and their families and their wives are up in arms against what is being done to them. And on the other hand, in the therapeutic ethos and its regnant world of yuppies and the elite, dominated by that therapeutic ethos, men are accommodating. They are supine. They're the new man who isn't a man. They are the soft, eunuch-like men of the new world. And this is a very stark, I'm painting it in rather existential opposition and rather starkly, because it is stark and it is real, and because people don't want to own up to it doesn't mean that it isn't the driving factor. Dynamis in Greek means power. It is the power driving American society towards some sort of outcome, some sort of confrontation. In other words, it's a strange battle between the world that we once knew, where men were celebrated but part of a larger harmonious society, and the world in which men are downgraded, denied, and to be overthrown. And this is an existential battle.
That won't stop with an election. You're talking about a transformation of a culture into the skill set of the elite, of the educated, of the gifted, of the what do they call them, experts. And that isn't going to stop with one election. That will continue. The 100 members of labor, just quickly, a minute. Is that ironical? I mean, what do we make of it? We rescued Britain twice in the 20th century, and it means to rescue us? Is that what this is about? Sort of Lafayette, we're here. Now it's sort of George Washington, we're here.
It's a bit like a repeat in very shallow ways of the original American Revolution, because, you know, we're still part of an Anglo-American world in which you have a British Empire, meaning UK, Ireland,
right,
Australia, New Zealand. And now what Great Britain is doing, or at least Great Britain's new regnant authority is doing, is very similar to...
Is it self-aware?
It's an 18th century condescension. You can learn from us. We will come and help you. We will help those Tories among you who have the awakened vision that is correct for the future.
Let's turn to Europe and the battles in Eurasia. We have an example of something that happened in the 13th century BCE in northern Germany that is extremely suggestive of what's happening in Ukraine today, the Eurasian Wars. Germanicus, Gaius, Londinium, the turbulent Thames, it's chilly. The families have gone home. We're lingering. We don't work. We're equus class. Domitian is, well, we don't follow him day to day because that's dangerous, but he's inadequate. The Rome is very far from us, however, and they don't much involve themselves with the edges of the empire right now. They're concerned with what's going on in Rome. And so we're going to turn to something that happened before Rome, well before Rome, 13th century BCE, which is late Bronze Age. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.